Hello again, Gooners! You want a bit of music, don't you? I don't know what that glitch is. I didn't program that glitch. Talking of glitches, I don't think Alex is going to turn up. I'm on live now, he just sent me a message. I'm on live, I'm waiting for you, glitches included. I'm on now. Wait, has he appeared? This Glitch City. What is going on? So, hear all those. There he is. He's listening. He can hear this. Yeah. Now, hear this. All right. So, yes, welcome to the show. Catch up too.
Oh, lovely. Awesome. Got them again.
Yeah, us two again. Yes. Okay. I think you need to crank yourself up a little bit, if possible. I don't know how to do that. I don't think I can I, unfortunately? You're quite quiet. And wait, is yeah, I can't sort of crank your mic up.
Yeah, I don't oh god. I'm trying to work out how to do it. Let's see. Settings, I suppose, isn't it? God. Yeah, this is definitely better this way.
Yes. I suppose it is. Sound really posh there saying yes. It's not often I say yes. But now you've gone all crackly. Right. Anyway, we've got a lot to discuss. So yeah, you'll have to, best you can, talk really loudly into your device.
Yes. I've got the phone next to my mouth. So fingers crossed you can hear us well. Yeah, there's loads, isn't there? Where do you want to start?
We both said the same thing. Well, I suppose with the transfers, you know, how happy are you with Arsenal's business during the summer transfer window? Sort of going back to, let's take the most recent signing, which is the Japanese guy. To me, a bit of an unknown quantity. I could find out a lot of information about him if I want, because of my contacts there, but I just feel, I don't know, I want to just hear what you think about it, because I'm not really sure, to be honest.
No, I'm not. Look at the positives. He plays in Serie A. Well, he played in Serie A, sorry. He's a Japanese international. He's got loads of caps for them. So, you know, he's young. So I think the potential, yeah, it could be a good signing. And I think if what Arsenal have done, if you look at all the transfers, he does, yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah, Arsenal have this year. Yeah, if you ignore the start to the season, but if you just look at the transfers, they are really all quite similar transfers. They're all similar age. And, you know, Arsenal's plan is to have a young squad. And hopefully, you know, they know that this year, or certainly it'll take some time to bed in, but these players hopefully will come good. And I think Arsenal, you know, they can't sign players in their peak as much as they used to, because they're not as an attractive club as much as they used to be. So I think Arsenal have had to change because, yeah, they have lost a bit of status. And these signings, I'm happy with the signings, I have to admit. I'm relatively happy with them. So I think we needed another midfielder, and I am disappointed that Xhaka is staying. And I think some of our, you know, we haven't had many departures, and I think we needed more. But I think that these players, you know, that they're young, so hopefully they'll have something to prove. We won't have them, so we can get them for cheaper wages as well. So hopefully we won't have, you know, them clogging up our wage bill in the future, like we did have with Ozil, like we did have with Willian. And can I just say as well, like, credit to Willian for leaving and, you know, taking a huge pay cut and ripping up his contract. He must have really wanted to leave, to throw away 20 million.
He
must have seen what a shit show we are as a club. And, because he's obviously an athlete, he's in his last, this will probably be his last club. And yeah, Arsenal was his sort of payday, retirement payday, and he's ripped it up. He just doesn't want to be there.
Miserable.
Yeah, he did.
He always looked so miserable pre-season, overweight and miserable, as you said. Yeah, I mean, I can't really tell. I mean, yeah, as you said, not enough players went out the outdoor. the exit door.
Yeah, and they're all loans as well. So like Bellerin, the loan. Nelson's quite happy to loan out. Then, Nketiah probably should have gone out on loan, but didn't. Supposedly he was asking for too much money. Then you had the whole, Kolasinac, what is he even still doing at the club? Let alone why is he playing against the champions at centre-half?
Strangest decision. I'm still getting over that one. I mean, people moaned about Cedric playing, but it was Kolasinac. And I've got nothing against Kolasinac personally, because I liked him. Like, everybody was raving about him when he first arrived. Said they were saying, the tank is here. And people were so excited. And that excitement lasted a while. And now I just don't know. I don't know. He just doesn't. He doesn't really fit in anymore, does he? Now Ozil's gone, his best mate.
Yeah, well, that's a factor, definitely. I think he doesn't suit Arteta's style of play, I don't think. And I think Arteta's very happy with Tierney. But I couldn't make sense of, like, if you want him gone and he wants to go, then don't play him against City, you know. And there was that stat. I don't know if you saw it. Out of the five signings, obviously, this is before we signed the Japanese lad. Out of the five signings that we made, four were available against Man City. One played. It's like you sign these players and you're still sticking with Xhaka. Yeah, Xhaka, fuck me. He wanted to leave. What do? We give him the captaincy again. And what a surprise, he gets sent off again. And then the selfish twat goes and gets COVID. Yeah, because he doesn't want to
like it's his fault. But the thing is, you know what's really wound me up about Xhaka? Yeah.
I'm more annoyed that Xhaka is not going to miss any games because of COVID. It's like, couldn't you got COVID all week before? You know.
You should get a red card, on a different occasion. And the thing is, that challenge, have you seen what he said about that challenge? I don't know if I can find it quickly, but he's basically not sorry that he made that challenge. He thinks it's perfectly fine to go in with two feet. Because he said, I've got the ball. I mean, what kind of idiot would say something like that, really? He just takes it to the next level all the time.
He did get the ball, but we all know the rules.
Took off. Yeah.
Yeah, you jump in with 2 feet, or you jump in like that. And, of course, it's not stone wall. Like, sometimes he might get away with it, but you can't be surprised if you don't get away with it. And I saw it and went, that's all right. I had no sort of issue with it at all. I was like, no. And don't get me wrong, we were 2-0 down. We were shit. And we were fucking god awful. All over the pitch. Like, I don't think we had a shot on target for most of the game.
Only the first 6 minutes were. Arsenal came out. And they took the game to City for 6 minutes. And then after that, it was a disaster.
Exactly.
So yeah, I don't know how you felt after that game. But I just
I was kind of like, if Arteta left, I don't think I'd be too upset. Like, just because of it, not just how shit we were, but his man management. Like, some of the decisions he's made this season, I'm just like, not even the transfers so much. Yeah, although he obviously did push for William and. Yeah, Runnison last year or whatever. But we have signed some good players. And I do think you have to take into account that we had no Gabriel, no Ben White, no Partey. So I think that would make us more competitive. And that is something that I am looking forward to. We'll now have 3 games without Xhaka. And because it might be, he's just stealing a living. I don't see what managers see in him because he's slow. Like, he can't handle the press particularly well. He makes brain-dead decisions all the fucking time. And it's just like, he must have pictures of like Arteta shagging another woman or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand what this man... And Emery loved him, Wenger loved him. And it baffles me. And I know, like, they're the professionals. Like, they do this day in, day out, and I see him at training, and I get all of that. But I just can't see it. I honestly can't see what people see in him. And... he's a fucking clown. Like, he's just in every aspect of life. You hear him talk, some of the things he says. But anyway, so yeah, I'm just glad that our next three games will be Lokonga, hopefully Lokonga and Partey. And I'm like, awesome. Hopefully Lokonga plays well enough. And you know, Xhaka doesn't get back into the team, but Arteta will of course play straight away when he gets back. So yeah, that was embarrassing. The transfer's out. We've still got lots of shit dead wood left. And I think we'll have a similar situation to what we had last year where we have too many people in the squad. There's Sokratis, like, yeah, like Sokratis and Ozil. Sokratis and Ozil is, I think, other motivations behind that decision. But, and I think we'll have the same with possibly Kolasinac this year, or I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, like, I'm happy with the signings in terms of like, they fit an age profile. They're young, they're for the future, and we have got a very young team. And what also that means to me is if Arteta goes, and the rumours are, I don't know if you saw on Twitter today, the rumours are that he's got until October to turn it around, and they've already started chatting to Conte about possibly taking over. So
they've started, Conte, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they've already started. That's the rumour. Like, how true that
where
is.
Where did you hear that?
Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was a new website. But, right, must find that website.
I have a really weird relationship with Twitter. I love to hate it because I fucking detest. I make a point of trying to follow people that I don't necessarily agree with. And I think, like, politically, I'm probably, like, left-leaning, central, yeah, mostly, yeah. But I follow, like, the woke crowd, and I follow far-right people, and they all disgust me. They honestly disgust me, all of them, both sides of there. They're both extremes, and I follow the extremes. So, like, I used to follow Trump before he got kicked off, and he was horrible, he was vile. And I follow a few wokies, and they're fucking vile as well, some of the things they say. But the only good thing I get out of Twitter is Arsenal stuff, because that just makes me laugh. And yeah, and crypto, because I'm still doing a bit of crypto here and there. So yeah, that's, I quite like that. And you do get some good pictures on, like, memes on Twitter. And because most of the people I know aren't on Twitter, I share them as my own. I say this is mine. In reality, I stole it off Twitter. You get some great ones. And it's a bit more an intelligent, it's like Instagram for the intelligent, really, but it's vile. Mm-hmm. It's, people are horrible to each other on it. I don't talk to anyone ever. I just, you know, scroll it, like, look at the feed. I rarely ever interact because people are just disgusting to each other. It really is the worst. And I think Twitter has sort of really is responsible for a lot of the world's, but well, yeah, for the world's social, like, problems. Do you know what I mean? Because it just, we could go on for hours about the bane of it. But yes, on Twitter today, a few sources. So yeah, that Fabrizio Romano, their agent, yeah. And old horny David Ornstein, they're both on it. And they're pretty reliable, to be fair. They're both really, really good. There's a couple others that I follow. And obviously, you know, Richard Barrow in Thailand. So he's on it. So I get information. He uses it loads. So it has its moments, but yeah, some of the people I follow, and I force myself to follow them because I don't want to sort of shut myself off from different opinions. I don't want to live in an echo chamber. So, but yeah, it's horrible. But it's, so we've asked, so supposedly, and he has got, you know, Norwich at home, we've got Spurs in the next few games. I think as well, we might even play Liverpool. So he's got a few games to save his career. Because obviously, like, the concrete can see.
And Norwich game.
Yeah. And, well, we're both, it's the bottom of the table clash.
Yeah. Dogfight.
We're both 0 points, like minus 9 goals conceded or whatever it is. And so, yeah, it's right. And I think it's obviously a very winnable game. We expect to win it. And I think the players will come out hopefully fully fucking charged up for it. But yeah, so we'll wait and see, won't we, I guess. But if that's to be believed, then he's got a month, because it's strange, because I do think we've had a good transfer window in terms of people coming in. We haven't got rid of all the dead wood, but if you notice, the transfer window, aside from the odd big player, there wasn't lots of signings, and I don't think there's huge amounts of signings.
Really.
I think a lot of clubs are broke because of COVID.
Of course. Yeah.
Or not, you know, and you could see that the transfer, you know, and that City spent 100 million, but on one player. You know, United, yeah, aside from Ronaldo, and that's, yeah, they didn't buy lots of players, and they're normally buying those. Like, do you know what I mean? So it was, and I know some of those clubs, they're only one or two players away from being complete, and obviously City still need a striker, although after they spanked us, you know, maybe they don't. But, you know, Arsenal bought five or six players, and so they're all
hopefully good. It's half a team.
It is, yeah, it is. And it's just, and as well, like I said before, it's, if they turn out to be shit, well, it's quite low risk because they're young. They'll have a bit of resale value, and Arsenal haven't spent that much money on them. You know, he spent 140 mil on six or seven players, aside from Ben White, sorry. And Ben White looks like a sensible, you know, he's an England international. You know, he plays the way Arteta wants to play. And I think, you know, for him, he wants to improve as a player, and this is a step up for him. So, you know, aside from Ben White, we haven't spunked loads of money on an individual player. So I can see what they're doing and see what they're trying to achieve. But it's like, well, let's see what happens on pitch, because, you know, Arteta can and Edu can do all these great signings. But if they're still playing shit on the pitch, then it counts for nothing, isn't it? So
sound like jail, really. When, yes, you know, when you bring in a lot of players like that, it takes longer for them to gel, and that's a bit of an issue. Because it's this Takahiro Tomiyasu guy, for example. It's going to take him a while to get used to playing, and it doesn't matter how good he is. When you've come from Italy, and especially as a defender, you're gonna be facing really dirty players in the English league. So I don't know how he's going to adapt. I hope he adapts well. He's got plenty of experience for a young player. As you said, he hits the age profile 21 to 23. So yeah, that was ostensibly, that's a good bit of business. But then really, is it going to be, we just don't know, do we, till we get through the Norwich game?
Yeah, we don't. And yeah, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It'll take time to blend in. And maybe that's why Arteta didn't play all of his signings against City, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe.
Alex, can you just keep talking to yourself for a bit? Because I've just got to go downstairs for 5 minutes. Sure. Can you keep going? Yeah, just talk about the transfers. I'll be back.
Yeah, no problem. So obviously, I think we're so amateur, aren't we? the outgoings are still a concern, really, for me. Like, we've still got lots of players that don't want to be there. And, you know, I'm glad we moved on Bellerin, and I'm glad a couple of them left, but we've still got more to do. So it's a concern. But I'll be surprised, if I'm honest, if Arteta's still in the job by Christmas. I think he will probably get sacked. Unless he manages to turn it around, and I'm not confident that he will turn it around, really. I've lost confidence over the summer, and it's strange, though, because I think aside from the loss to Bournemouth, we all expected to probably lose against City, well, almost definitely lose against City, and yeah, playing the European champions, Chelsea, they are a better team. I think we would have expected to be a bit more competitive, but it's not that surprising. So aside from the Bournemouth game, when a few of our players had COVID and the league wouldn't change, then it's, you know, doesn't necessarily require the reaction. We've had, which has been incredibly negative to Arteta and to the season, because we started so poorly last season, and we're constantly playing catch up, and the season was over before it began. And even though we did play well in that second half of the season, we were competing for nothing. We had nothing to compete for, and we're in danger of that happening this year as well. So we'll have to wait and see, really, I guess. But I'm not particularly confident. Hopefully the new players will blend in and gel in quite well, and we'll see what happens. But hopefully Joe will come back, because this has never part of the deal that I would have to speak on myself. So, yeah. Not exactly the ideal start to this in the next few games. What are our games? So we've got to be looking to get, obviously, Norwich, we're expecting to get 3 points. Then we've got Burnley away, but you'd still think we should be able to get a result there. And then Spurs at the end of the month. And then Brighton the following week. He's got 4 games, 5 if you include the AFC win. League Cup. Got 5 games to save his career. You would be thinking we should, you know, you want us to beat Spurs. We've got to be looking for out of those 4 games, 9 or 10 points. You know, we don't want to lose to Spurs ever. But also, you know, Brighton and that. Norwich at home. Yeah, if it doesn't beat Norwich at home, I think doesn't beat Norwich, Vince, then he's. And after that, Palace, after the October international, Palace, Villa, both at home. In the October, a tricky game with Leicester. That won't be easy. And then Watford at home. So, yeah, we've got some big games coming up. You know, Liverpool away. Thought I was right, we played Liverpool. We played Manchester United, Everton away at the beginning of December. It's all difficult games. So, I think, yeah, the next 5 games, we should be aiming to get 10 points. We're not getting 10 points. We're not beating Norwich convincingly. We're not turning up against a battle. Of course, it's Burnley, Brighton. We should be looking to get 12 points. You'll be out of a job. So, yeah, it's depressing. I'm seeing Spurs at the top of the league. But if we win against Norwich, we're up to, could even go as high as 13th. Great, but it's better than nothing. But yeah, next 4 or 5 games, I would say, great. Back now. So Norwich at home is massive for him.
Now, what have I missed? Quick summary.
Yeah, just look at the fixtures. Our next 4 games before the October break are Norwich, Burnley away, then the Wimbledon in the Carabao Cup, Spurs at home, and then Brighton away. And I was saying, yeah, we should be expecting to get 9 to 12 points there. And Arteta definitely has to get. Yeah.
So how many points do you reckon he's got to get or wins? Because, I mean, he'd be expected to beat Wimbledon. Brighton away is tough.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Brighton and Burnley away both won't be easy. Obviously, we've got to expect to beat Norwich. And I think, you know, for his sake, he has to beat Norwich. Because it's a local derby, he's run out of good faith with a lot of the fans. So I think he has to beat Spurs, and then I think we have to get results. We have to turn up. We have to perform. We're not even performing, are we? You know, like City was just dire. Like, you know, his man management, his choices, like some of his tactics.
Have you talked about Ainsley? Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Yeah, what a fucking shambles.
He's training with the kids, right? He's not even training with the main team.
Yeah, supposedly they've had clear the air talk. And Arteta will try and sort of... So there's lots of ways you can look at it. So firstly, who is advising Ainsley? I think his agent needs to sort of be looked at because... This is, again, according to Twitter, that his agent is being investigated currently by the FA for unscrupulous dealing. Now, with his deals last year and some of the deals this year, some of the reasons why it fell apart was because the agent was taking too much money and they wanted too much money. So he's not the complete innocent in all of it. Now, but on the other side, he did say to Arteta he was willing to play right back. He just wanted to play this year. And I think personally, he's a better right back than Suarez or Bellerin is. Like, you know, and I think he's got time on his hands. So for him to do that, you know, shows how desperate he is to play and show how upset he is. And he's, but the advice he's getting from his team, his people, is obviously awful. For them to think that's a good idea, you know, you don't air your dirty laundry in public. It's embarrassing. It just makes us look bad. Nobody looks good in that scenario. So, yeah, his team of advisors and whoever else need to have a word. They need to have, yeah, be spoken to. But, yeah, it's embarrassing. And I think as well, you know, Arsenal fans are understandably upset at Arteta because he's, you know, Maitland-Niles is a Hail Ender. He's an original Arsenal boy. And we do look at, you know, we protect our own like every team does. And, you know, I think Maitland-Niles, you know, he went to West Brom and Fat Sam. But yeah, he could be a good midfielder. But Arteta's so stubborn and his man management is awful sometimes. And he's spiteful. So I think, you know, that's part of it. I do think Arteta is definitely partly to blame. Because it's almost like he doesn't forgive. You know, you look at the example last time we talked on the podcast, we talked about that Tavares playing right back against Bournemouth, and he's a left-footed player, but he played right back. But he had Suarez and Bellerin on the bench, but he chose to play left back at right back just to fuck off Bellerin, just to make a point. I'm not going to play you if I don't want him. And he is petty, and I've seen that more this year. And it does make me think about the whole Ozil situation. Now, yeah, at the beginning, Arteta, you can kind of give him some slack because you think, well, you know, he's a new manager. You know, he's got to stamp his authority. Mm-hmm. But it's the inconsistencies that we've seen that made, you know, people lose respect. You know, not necessarily with Ozil, but, you know, he then didn't treat everyone else the same after that. And I think that's sort of caused his problem. So, yeah, the Maitland-Niles situation, I feel sorry for him because I think, you know, he's a good player. I think, you know, he's been poorly advised. But I don't think the club have helped him at all. And I think Arteta really has sort of, you know, got it out for him. So, yeah, it's just embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I'm not sure what to make of it. Personally, I think if he's not going to play him, he might as well have sold him. If Willock could be sold, then why not Maitland-Niles? I suppose he needs him in the squad. But if he needs him in the squad, then he needs to treat him in a way that's sort of more acceptable to the player. Because at the moment, having him isolated, and he hasn't even got COVID, he's about one of the very few that hasn't actually got COVID, to isolate him for no real reason. I can't understand it at all. And I'm an Arteta fan, and here I am wondering what hell is he doing, you know? I just don't get it. The Man City selection just had me thinking, does he want to lose this game? I mean, obviously, it's likely anyway. So why go in with that team? Kolasinac has not been playing for ages. I think he played in a pre-season game. Cedric, I didn't have so much of an issue with, but it just, the whole setup just looked a mess. And Lokonga, who's been one of the best players, on the bench. So unless he was slightly injured, carrying a knock, or slightly ill, who knows? But I just looked at that team and thought, this doesn't look like it's going to turn out good from Arsenal's perspective. And then they started off so well. And then as soon as they went a goal behind, that was it. They threw the towel in, really. That's how it looked. But, I mean, Xhaka's disgraceful tackle. I just can't. I'm running out of patience. In fact, I ran out of patience about a year ago or more. I just thought, this guy, he's got to go. I just don't understand why. I mean, it's so hard to back the team when you've got an unpopular player. He's very unpopular with the fans, of course. I mean, it seems like the fans are staying quiet, really. They're not slamming him, which is all credit to the fans for that, because he is an Arsenal player and the fans have got to back him as best they can. But it's just so hard at the moment. It's so hard to back back the team. And this, I've never ever felt like that, that I recall, because usually, you know, I mean, I don't want to blame the manager, but, and I don't want to blame the players, but who's going to take the blame for this mess that Arsenal were in? And do you, how much, I mean, you say Arteta's card's numbered for the end of October, but I was listening to Arsblog. Ornstein was saying he's got till Christmas, and that was after those three defeats, you know, and the one victory against West Brom in the whatever it's called, Carabao Cup. So so what do you think? Do you think, does it sort of, I mean, how many games, I think I asked this before, how many games do you think he's got to win? If you look at those games coming up, how many does he need to win in order to save his job, would you say? I'm not even sure if you can hear me anymore. I might be talking to myself. I think I'll answer my own question in that case then. Right, how many games? How many games? Right, Norwich. I think he's got to win that game, to be honest. Burnley away, Arsenal never win that game, so that's... It's going to have to get three against Norwich at home. So then it seems like you're still online, by the way, Alex. So if you are, just say something. But anyway, so then after that Tottenham, it's not looking good, is it, really? 3 points against Norwich are absolutely vital. Then Brighton away is going to be hard. Crystal Palace at home is going to be hard. It's just endless tough games. Like every game looks tough suddenly. And it's because we started the season with 0 points. So maybe it's getting revenge on me. Now I've got to talk by myself for 5 minutes. Can do that. Do it for 55 if needs be. But unfortunately, I feel sorry for our listeners, 10 or 20 listeners. Now it's been technical problems galore today. Yeah, we were talking anyway about the transfer window. That's how we started off, at least. And I was relatively pleased. I probably sounded very downbeat about Takahiro Tomiyasu joining from Bologna, but I didn't believe that deal was going to happen, if truth be told. I thought it was a lie. After the Rio Miyaichi situation and how that transfer didn't work, I just thought that Arsenal were finished as far as shopping in Japan were concerned. Obviously, he's played in Italy and done well, but then Miyaichi did pretty well in Holland. And then I remember people were saying, he's the Japanese Ronaldo. And I thought, yes, he's very quick. And yes, he was skillful. But there was something missing, and he was very injury prone. And it turned out he barely played any games at Arsenal. And in his next club as well, the same situation happened. And I don't think this guy, from what I can gather, it's not injury prone. Don't say that, of course. As soon as they join Arsenal, they're in the sick bay. But no, this guy looks pretty solid, and all reports about him are good. Apparently, his distribution, if you look at the statistics, could be questionable. But ultimately, people that have seen him play a lot say that he can pass a good raking ball forward. And defensively, he always seems to get his head on just about everything that's thrown into the box. So he's gonna probably play at right back, apparently, but he can play at centre back if needs be. So if it's Tomiyasu alongside White and alongside him, Gabriel and Tierney, you'd have to say, on paper at least, that sounds like a really good back four. So then, we've already talked about other transfers that have happened. So I won't go on about those. I'm still waiting for Alex to come back. Let's just see what his status is at the moment. See if I can get him back. But yeah, I can talk about the games coming up, of course. You know, I'm so upset about this, these first three games, but then perhaps I shouldn't be, because I was listening back to the show that we did the other day, and the fact is Alex guessed correctly that we'd have 0 points, and he's guessed almost correctly that our goal difference would be minus 11, and of course it's, what is it, minus 9, isn't it? So yeah, minus 9. So he's only two out So he might have a career ahead of him in making predictions, because that was pretty amazing as a prediction. I think I didn't actually say on air, but I predicted we'd have 1 point, because I thought the Brentford game was a lot harder than people made out, because when you take on a team that's just got promoted, they're always going to come at you with everything they've got. And it was, as Alex said in the last podcast, first game roughly for 70 years in top flight. So the bees were stinging. And of course, Arsenal just couldn't cope with it. It's just it was a bit shocking how easily Arsenal got turned over in that game. The Chelsea game was an utter nightmare as well. I mean, what really killed me, and not many people have commented on this, which is why I'm going to do so now. What really got me was how James was coming up down the right and not getting picked up. And I just found that really odd. I don't want to blame Tierney, because Tierney was offering something going forward, but then he clearly needs some help when it comes to defending, because he wasn't getting it. And the goals seemed to come about from crosses from the right. And that really bothered me a lot against Chelsea. So then the West Brom game, obviously that was a great result away from home at West Brom. They may be a division down, but they were Premier League last season. So it was a good result. It seemed like the goal drought was over, but then, of course, it was back to form again, back to the Premier League form, and no goals and not much of a sniff either against City. Apart from at the very beginning, I think there was a deflected effort from Smith Rowe and Saka. You know, these guys are the lifeblood of the club. Unfortunately, yeah, we've been talking about some of those other players that have come through the academy system, and to be honest, I'm not really sure all of them are gonna crack it at Arsenal. I think they will end up going elsewhere and maybe making a career of it elsewhere rather than Arsenal. So yeah, those are the two. Obviously, there are some others. Funny enough, there was one or two others, like Aziz. I thought Aziz could break through into the first team this year, but he's been shipped off. I have to look where he's gone to. But Aziz went off on loan. Maybe Portsmouth, but I'm not too sure. Reece Nelson, we've already said, has gone to Feyenoord. I just don't think Reece Nelson's going to make it at Arsenal. And Bellerin seems like he's not going to make it at Arsenal now. Whereas he already has, you could argue. But now Real Betis, he'd probably be happier there, because he's obviously from Spain. Runarsson finally got a move to Leuven. I'm not even sure where that is. I'm guessing Belgium. So it's good to see that Runarsson finally got a move away, because I think Arsenal's really not the club for him. But you never know. You never know. He's still young, and goalkeepers develop pretty late. So, yeah, I'm still trying to look to see where Aziz went, but I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it was, in fact, Portsmouth. But anyway, what little flashes I've seen of him, I was really impressed with Aziz, and I just thought maybe he might break through this year. But yeah, overall, it's been clearly, we all know, it's been a very disappointing time to be an Arsenal fan. And putting things in perspective, I was looking back in time, you know, that year when Manchester United scored 8, that year started pretty badly too. It was just 1 point, and then there was a transfer frenzy. And ironically, Arteta was one of those players that came in with Mertesacker and the guy that had a terrible record of driving too fast. I forgot his name, the left back, a Brazilian left back. We had a lot of flair about him, and I did like him. And then there was the Korean number 9, who just, I don't think he managed to score a single goal for Arsenal, certainly not in the league at least. And he was the Korean international captain, and he got shipped out pretty quickly after coming in for a reasonably large-sized transfer fee. But yeah, so this transfer window, not quite as panicky as that one years ago. So looking at it now, but the thing was, it was just then Arsenal got their season back on track and finished third that season. So there's your optimism for you, if you've been waiting for that. I've been waiting for Alex to return, but I don't think he's going to make it. I think his internet connection's let him down. But it says here, according to what I'm looking at, he's connected. But you know, I'm not getting any messages from him whatsoever. So yeah, if you want someone to be optimistic about, just think about back then. I won't forget it in a hurry when Arteta and all these new boys like Mertesacker made their debuts for Arsenal, and they turned things around. They turned things around. It was a game against Swansea. Not sure what the score was, but I'd guess it was a 2-1. I think it was after an international break, and then Arsenal came back and started playing some decent football and looked like a reasonable team. And of course, qualified for the Champions League. It would be a miracle if this team qualifies for the Champions League. But let's not forget, individually, they are very, very talented indeed. So, I think I've finally got a message come through. Let's see what he's saying. He's having problems getting on. Okay. All right, I think he's going to call it a day there. I'll just say, okay, no problems. So I might call it a day, but just let's have a look, see if there's any other news that I should bring to your attention. Seeing as I'm here on the mic, once I get talking, you know, it never ever stops. Okay, I'll just run through some news, like on Football London. I didn't like this story. It was Odegaard is a waste of money for 30 million, apparently, because he didn't play that well for Norway by all accounts. I really don't know the ins and outs of that because, like many Arsenal fans, I don't particularly follow the international football. Then what other news is there? Sol Campbell and Daily Mirror, but I can't read it because there's an advertorial blocking me, and I'm trying to read it. Wait, this is the wrong story. What's that all about? It's been nothing but confusion. That's me. That's my headline. So yeah, I can't read that story. Seems like. Which is nice. Who says this? Mikel Arteta told it's probably the end ahead of the crunch Arsenal clash. Arsenal have endured their worst start to a season since the 1950s. Joe Cole says Arteta will be sacked if Arsenal fail to beat Norwich. Well, Joe Cole doesn't know, but that's what he says. He's not saying that he thinks that Arteta deserves a sack. He told Coral, bookmakers, via the Metro newspaper, London newspaper, the future at Arsenal is obviously up in the air. I know they've played Chelsea, they've played Man City, two of the best teams, but it's the manner of both defeats. He's got a point. Those defeats were shocking. I keep using that word, but I suppose it's appropriate. And that website seems to have stuck now. They had all season to prepare for the Brentford game. And they got it wrong because they weren't at it mentally. And that's what's happened too much with Arsenal. It's not Arteta's fault. It's been something that's just been like damp getting into the woodwork at the club. In the two defeats against the big boys, it was like they laid down and died. I do like how Arteta has handled the situation. He's hardening as a manager, and you can see that. And he said he's obviously a well-schooled coach because of his work with Pep, and he's a thoughtful guy. He's in the storm at the moment. He has to find a result against Norwich, and if he doesn't beat Norwich, I think it's probably the end for him. Obviously, the Norwich too need to pick up points because they've got none so far, and they really—it's going to be such a tough game. The Finnish guy up front—I even put him in my fantasy football team because I've totally lost confidence in Arsenal. But at the same time, I put Leno in, so you can see why I'm not very good at fantasy football. So yeah, I'll put him in. Now I took him out again. Actually, I changed my mind. I thought I can't do this. This is just so wrong. I have a glimmer of good news for you. Don't get excited yet, though. It's just a behind-closed-doors friendly. It seems like Arsenal are so good behind closed doors. So what they really need is for the fans to be banned again. So guess what? I'm going to give you this news. It came from the Daily Mirror. I didn't see it in many places, actually. So he opted to play, this is Arteta, two wing-backs and three at the back in this game against Brentford. Like a revenge game, actually. So the Mirror reminds us this formation helped Arsenal to overcome the likes of Manchester City and Chelsea to win the FA Cup and also to beat Liverpool in the Community Shield. But, of course, it's been a back four not all the time, but quite a lot of the time since then. But anyway, in this game behind closed doors against Brentford, Arteta started with Ben White alongside Gabriel and Pablo Mari, and it was a clean sheet. That doesn't happen often, does it? So White and Gabriel played for more than an hour, so there's a possibility of a back three. Maitland-Niles had his best spell as a wing back in this old formation, but even when it went back to a normal kind of shape, it was he carried on playing, but this time he played in midfield. So Maitland-Niles, who knows, he may get his chance against Norwich. Xhaka is out, suspended, of course. Partey's still injured. So it won't surprise anybody that much if Maitland-Niles plays. If Ramsdale plays, that will be a surprise. But he kept a clean sheet against West Brom, and he kept a clean sheet also against Brentford in this behind-closed-doors friendly. Cedric did very well in that game. He started as a left wing-back. Callum Chambers was on the right as a right wing back, but it was Cedric who scored a couple of goals. So he's determined to fight for his place, which is good news. And anyway, looks like they've also got news that Elneny is going to be used in coming weeks, but I'm not so sure that's true because I thought he got injured, but I might be wrong about that. Anyway, this is a team that played against Brentford. Ramsdale and goal, Chambers, White, who was replaced by Hutchinson, Mari, Gabriel, replaced by Holding after 69 minutes, Cedric, Maitland-Niles, Elneny, replaced by Patino, so Elneny's not as injured as I thought then, and Martinelli also played, as well as Lacazette and Pepe. And the goals came from Gabriel, Lacazette, Cedric got two. So we could do with that. So did I say 5-0? I was wrong, it was 4-0. Well, I've got 5-0 on the brain, of course, after that drubbing at Manchester City. I was reading She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, that shewore.com. That website's having a bit of a moan about Emi Martinez. I think I'll get in trouble if I say too much because I still like Emi Martinez. But this website takes issue with Martinez complaining about Arsenal and saying he didn't even want to sign for Arsenal in the first place. So, yeah, if he said that, I didn't hear him say it. Maybe it's poorly translated. I don't know. But I think it's a bit mean having a guy at Emi. I just can't. He was at Arsenal a long time. I think he deserves a bit more respect than that. The Metro were running a story saying that Arsenal lost 20 million by not being able to offload Nketiah, because now he can just leave for free. Well, he can't right now. He could make an arrangement to leave for free in January with a foreign club and could leave next summer for nothing at all. And that's very disappointing. But there may be some compensation due to Arsenal, actually, because he's not that old. I'm not sure exactly of the rules, because he's only 22. And it used to be if you're even 23, I think the club that's nurtured you and brought you up and coached you usually gets some money, but it'll be a nominal fee in comparison to a proper transfer fee. And Arsenal apparently were holding out for too much. And there's been a lot of complaints about Arsenal's dealings in the transfer window. People saying that really Arsenal should have offloaded players even on the cheap. But then other pundits say, well, then people like Edu would have been hauled over the coals for doing that. He would have been told by the fans in no uncertain terms, why do you let Xhaka go for 16 million? But if he keeps him and signs him to a new deal, then that's also wrong. So whatever people do at the moment, it's wrong at the club. And you can understand why the fans feel like that, because it's frustration with all these defeats. There's talk about Serge Aurier from Spurs, who's now no longer got a club. He could possibly sign, apparently, for Arsenal. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you some of the stories. Where did that come from? I think it came from footballinsider247.com. It's not the place I go to find out what's really happening. Bit more slamming of Granit Xhaka or Xhaka. Who is it? Charlie Nicholas calls him a joker. obviously we know what he did. What does Charlie Nicholas say about him exactly? Well, it's in the Metro, and he was speaking on the Where's Jeff podcast, and he said he did what he's always done. He played the Joker card. He is the Joker of our club. How he can manipulate Roma into paying him 70 million, I would have personally dropped him off there, and then he signs a new contract. When you look at the so-called captain in Xhaka, that's a cop-out. It's an absolute camouflage, the red card, and it just sums up everything about that football club. As much as I want to support Arteta, I'm finding it harder and harder to justify his choices. So, yeah, back to the moans again. He also added this. I don't think the crowd want him to stay. I think he's got the right philosophy. But if you don't have the personnel, now he's talking about Arteta. Look, why would you sign Saliba and then send him out on loan when you have awful defenders at the club? I think the fans already want him out. I think they'll give him till Christmas, but I think the fans have made up their mind. Well, yeah, it's pretty worrying, the situation. I think we all know that. So Charlie Nicholas and Paul Merson have been quite critical. What about Kevin Campbell? Well, he's slammed Paul Merson for some of his comments. He thinks he's a bit too negative. I find Merson quite funny, even though, yeah, I know he's an avowed Chelsea fan, but ultimately he's still an Arsenal legend, Merson. I don't care what anyone says. So Merson said he could do a better job than Edu if he was given the role of director of football. Merson, I don't agree with everything he says, because, for example, he said the Japanese boy coming in from Bologna, he said that no one was chasing him. But actually, that's not strictly speaking true, because I also heard that Spurs were chasing him. And there was at least one other Italian side, big team, chasing him. But anyway, so Campbell, who's also an Arsenal legend, he just said he's just embarrassed about, more or less, by what Merson says. He said, again, this seems to be a recurring situation with Merce. Yes, Merce is a Chelsea fan, but he played for Arsenal. He had great times at Arsenal. Again, it's his opinion, but it's the way it's done is a tough part. I watch it, shake my head and just think, no. So, he's not convinced by all the transfer business. Obviously, Merson not convinced by Ben White, not convinced by Aaron Ramsdale, who's kept two clean sheets. Let's not forget that. Although one was behind closed doors, it's still a clean sheet. And Martin Odegaard, I think, is a very good player who could become a superstar. Whether he does is another story. But I've liked a lot of what I've seen of Odegaard. And Arsenal held out to make sure that they got him. He was the first choice. So we can take something from that. Odegaard he can make a huge difference, because he's just that missing link, as it were. So let me see what else I can give you. If you're still hanging on here, hoping for more news, but and obviously Lokonga, as even Football London says, a very promising talent. Xhaka signing a new long-term contract. We didn't talk about this at length, but the interesting thing was the club didn't announce it. It's just really strange. So, that decision was strange, I suppose. But then to back up the club a little bit on that, all I can say is that obviously if he didn't re-sign, then he could be leaving for nearly nothing, and that wouldn't be good either. So the club cannot seem to do anything right at the moment, no matter what it is. As I said earlier, I think basically the fans are take umbrage at it and get really, really upset about just about anything and everything. There's also another bit of good news, I suppose you could call it, but I've got to find it. There's about Daniel Ballard, who's at Millwall on loan. He's actually scored a goal for his international team, Northern Ireland, during this interlull, as some people call it, or international break. So there you go. There's a little tiny bit of good news for you to hang on to. But the problem is he's not at Arsenal at the moment. But who knows? He could get recalled in January. Things could be different. So anyway, the next game is very important. They're all important games, but I think this has got to be one of the most important games in Arteta's time at the club. So we wish him the best of luck. And I think on that note, on that note, we will, or I will, because there's no more. I mean, he's gone. Alex is gone, but the show goes on just for a bit longer. Until the next time, adios, amigos.